Welcome to PredictableProfits.com, where entrepreneurs and business owners come together to outthink, out-earn, and outperform their competition so that your business can dominate the marketplace and start making more money today. Here is your host, welcome marketing expert, Charles Gaudette.
Hi, everybody. This is Charles Gaudette welcoming you to PredictableProfits.com. This call is about how to take your business and create a more dependable, consistent, and predictable income that fuels your own personal net worth and also grows the value of your company and the money it makes year after year. Now, I know we've got quite a few people on the call, and it looks like there's a few more joining in. However, we're going to get started properly. As you might know, money likes speed, so we're not going to wait. We're just going to jump right into it. Now, before I get into the meat of the presentation, I just want to make something clear here. Everything that I'm going to cover in this presentation is not some conjured-up theory that I pulled from a textbook, or worse, like a lot of what you see today, these businessmen and women running around putting on seminars and teaching courses based on marketing strategies that they say, quote unquote, worked. When you dig a little deeper, they're talking about strategies that worked back in what a lot of people now call the good old days of the 90s. And up to just a few years ago, those strategies worked, or quote unquote worked rather, but the problem is that really in practical application, you didn't have to be good to make any money in the good old days. You just had to show up and ask people to buy from you. And in fact, even those business owners that were smart enough to even ask for a sale were still probably better than 85 to 90% of all business owners out there. Now, what should be reassuring to you is that everything I'm going to cover with you today is a product of real life and proven application. It's stuff that I've personally paid for, both by learning the hard way from things that quite honestly didn't work for me, and the time that I invested in testing that has earned me a handsome sum of money. And I'm showing you stuff that's actually worked for me. It's worked for my Insiders Club members, my private clients, my mentors, and stuff that's working right now, today, in an economy that, well, most business owners are caught with their tails between their legs. So, now what's the difference between the good old days and today? Well, for starters, in the good old days, money was pretty easy to come by. If you owned a house, your home was appreciating. Now, if you ever wanted to get money out of your house, all you had to do is show up to the bank, tell them you want to refinance or pull a home equity line, and within a few days, you'd have the money in your hand. You didn't have to show proof of income or have a good credit line to get a loan. Now, credit cards, they were also easy to come by. You'd hear news that people's dogs were getting credit cards with several $1,000 credit limits, and God only knows what FIDO was charging your old MasterCard. But every few months, you'd look at your credit card statement, and bam, good news, your credit card limit increased. And some credit cards had no limit at all. Now, I mean, some credit cards today, you still have no limit, but even those that had no limit back in the day, they turned around and they capped them as well. Now, some of them anyway, not all. But you fast forward to today, and have any of you tried to get a loan or refinance your home? Let me tell you something. It's a heck of a lot easier trying to teach a two-year-old how to speak Swahili than refinancing. And I'm not kidding. They want to know so much darn information. It's almost a part-time job just putting it all together. And God forbid they come back and they have a question about anything you put in any of those documents, and then you got to dig a little deeper to find that needle in a haystack. How many of you have experienced your credit card limits going down? You know, I read a statistic the other day that over 45% of banks reduce credit card limits, and that number is continuing to increase. The point that I'm trying to make here is that in today's market, money isn't as easy to come by. You've got homes decreasing in value. You've got credit card limits decreasing. You've got salaries. They're either staying the same. In many cases, they're decreasing, but they're not jumping in the way that they used to. But you see, the point is, even though money isn't as easy to come by, people are still spending money, but they're just being a lot more selective with how they spend their money. So your competition just isn't the guy next door that's selling the exact same product or service as you. You have to realize that now you're competing against alternatives. I mean, there's a ton of alternatives out there. And now you're competing against your customer deciding to do nothing at all. So here's the deal here. There's a segment of the entrepreneurial community that is growing, and they're finding more opportunity existing today than any other point in history. I'm not kidding. These are strategic entrepreneurs who decided to get off the same crowded road as everyone else and blaze their own paths. Here's the deal, folks. Your direct competition is shrinking. Their business is down, and they don't know how to compete in this environment because they're still caught up doing more or less the same stuff that's not working, and they are scared stiff. Many of them, they're not doing anything, and they're hemorrhaging left and right. But the good news is that your customers are still buying, and they're just waiting for you to woo them off their feet and earn their business. People, listen to me right now. The opportunity. This is one of the best times in my life, and for many the best times in your life as well, to be an entrepreneur. So again, for those of you who are new to this call and new to Predictable Profits, my name is Charlie Gaudet of Predictable Profits, and you're on this call today to learn more ways of growing your company, your net worth, and all in all, bringing you closer to the dream you believed was true when you first became an entrepreneur. Now, this is going to apply to any product or service business, local, regional, national, professional, retail, information-based or internet-based that you can think of. For the most part, it doesn't matter what business you're in. What we're focusing in on today are the fundamental psychological triggers that cause people, both in B2C or B2B, to buy from you. And I'll tell you, one of the great marketing legends out there, Dan Kennedy, he likes to say, everybody likes to stand up and say, but my business is different. I'll tell you, a few years ago, my wife and I flew out to San Diego to see Tony Robbins. And for those of you who don't know Tony, he's known as a peak performance coach. Some people call him a motivational speaker, whatever. He's worked with millions of people throughout the world, and he's one of the top guys in personal development. My wife and I, Heather, my wife, we actually invested over $250,000 with Tony to get some coaching, and we joined his Platinum Partnership Program, one of the best experiences of my life. And when I first met Tony, we're sitting center stage in the front row of this giant stadium with 6,000 or so people in attendance. And at the time, I was running this multi-million-dollar company, and even though I was making decent money, I was completely and utterly unhappy with the way my life was going. And so I'm sitting at the seminar just waiting to meet with Tony and tell him my situation. And because I thought, you know, his seminar might be good for everybody else, I'm looking around and thinking to myself, well, you know what, my situation is a little bit different. And just as soon as those thoughts were running through my head, Tony stood up and he asked the crowd, how many of you are sitting here thinking, this is great stuff and all, but my situation is different? Excuse me. You know, I looked over my shoulder, and believe it or not, 2/3 of the crowd were raising their hand. You see, while your business might be unique, in fact, it better damn well be unique, it's not different. Whether you're in the business-to-business or the business-to-consumer markets, you're dealing with humans. And people buy with emotions, and they rationalize with logic. I mean, that's why Tony Robbins has been able to work with millions and millions of people, both business professionals and individuals around the world, because people fundamentally, the way they make decisions and the motivations that they have in their life can be grouped into certain categories, and we're not all as different as people like to think. I don't care if you're Microsoft, if you're Google, if you're Dell, or if you're the tiny little donut shop at the corner of the street. If you want to make a sale, the underlying principles are the same. I want you to find comfort knowing that I've personally seen these strategies applied and working in almost every known industry available today. And if you doubt me, I'd love to have you take me up on a challenge and prove to me that anything I discuss today will not work in your industry, and I'll show you why it will work. Folks, this isn't new age stuff here either. Nothing I'm about to tell you has completely been made up out of thin air. The stuff is stuff that people have been writing about, talking about, and applying since the early 1900s. And in fact, the only stuff that I would be worried about is the new stuff that people are claiming to work, because just as fast as it works, it goes away. You see, the principles have been around for over 100 years, but the only thing that's changed, only for some of it rather, is the media by which it's delivered. Now, if you haven't done so already, I encourage you to grab a pen and plenty of paper, because I've got a lot of information to cover during the time we have together. And because our time is limited, I'm going to try to move as fast as possible to give you everything I've got. Now, certainly there's going to be a number of you that want to dive deeper into the material that I'm going to cover today, and I promise that at some point by the end of the call, I'll tell you where you can get that information. I'm telling you, this is really, really cool stuff here that can and will set your business on a totally different course. And by the end of the call, you'll know more about growing your business than over 99% of all entrepreneurs on the planet. And specifically, I can confidently say that just about no one else is doing this stuff. And I'm talking directly about your competitors. Your competitors are either too lazy, they do a poor job with their marketing, or in most cases, they just don't know what they're doing. And honestly, it's a shame. And it's affecting more than just small business owners. You can pick up the USA Today, turn on the TV, or heck, just walk down the street and you'd see a dozen big, huge, multi-million dollar companies making some of the dumbest mistakes on the planet because they just don't get it. In most cases, just a little common sense could instantly, boom, boost your profits as little as 30%, even more. And with the correct application that we're talking about here, you could see this in as little as 30, 60 days. And everything we're going to talk about here is simple, intuitive, and relatively easy to apply. But before I go on much further, some of you probably want to know, now, who is this guy? Who am I? And why should you be listening to me? Well, I'll tell you. Well, let me get a sip of water here for a second. I'll tell you, if you're looking to be impressed by some guy with a fancy MBA degree or any fun stories about being born with a silver spoon, you're going to be sorely disappointed, my friends. You see, when my mom and dad got married many, many years ago, my dad grabbed everything he owned, packed it in one paper bag, and showed up on the doorstep of my grandmother's home, where mom and dad would live for a few years until they could afford to live on their own. You see, my dad grew up in a situation where he was expected to share clothes with my grandfather and with my uncles because each child, or the parents rather, couldn't afford to buy each kid their own clothes. The milkman would come and they'd deliver milk, and my grandmother would water it down in order to have enough for the family. And going out to eat, their idea of going out to eat was getting a burger and fries at McDonald's, and that was a real special occasion. And it's not to discount my grandparents. My grandmother was raising the children, and my grandfather, he worked really, really hard, but he barely made enough money at the mayonnaise factory to support his wife and his five kids. So when my dad moved in with my mom and my grandmother after they got married, he was trying to carve out his own life. He was trying to build and grow his own construction company. Now you fast forward a few years, and here I come. I'm born, and now my folks moved out of my grandmother's home. My dad was still working harder than ever trying to support his family. In fact, up and until I was in the third grade, I hardly knew my dad at all. He'd come home from work after I go to bed, and then he'd be off to work before I'd get up in the morning. And my mom, on the other hand, she took on the hardest job of all, which is to stay at home and raise my brothers and my sister. But you see, on the rare occasion that I'd see my dad, if he had a good day, he would tell me, "Kid, if you ever want to make it big in life, you got to start your own business." But when he'd have a tough day at work, he'd say, "Kid, employees suck. Don't ever become an employee. All they do is bitch and complain about whatever they don't have instead of trying to make things work for themselves." You know, right or wrong, whatever, I grew up knowing one thing. I was never going to become an employee. I took everything my dad told me, and I started my first business selling artwork to my neighbors at just 4 years old. Now, I know maybe Freud could argue that I was looking for acceptance, love, or connection from my dad when I started the business at such a young age. And, you know, perhaps he's right. But either way, I had one of the best experiences of my life as a child entrepreneur. You see, when you're young and you don't know very much, you take risks and you try everything you can to make it work. Some of what I did worked out, but a lot of what I did failed. But I was just so darn convinced that I'd never be an employee that I'd fail, I get right back up again, fail, I get right back up again, fail, try again, and the cycle continued. Heck, I mean, even now I still make mistakes. We all do, but I continue to try again. And taking those risks that no one else would dare take is part of the makeup of an entrepreneur. There's a quote that says, and I love this quote, it's one of my favorites, "Entrepreneurs do the things that others won't so that they can spend the rest of their lives doing the things that others can't." I know a few of you are writing this down, so I'll say it again. Entrepreneurs do the things that others won't so that they can spend the rest of their lives doing the things that others can't. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I love employees, and I think it's important to develop a culture where you're looking out for your employees and develop a mutual trust where you have each other's back. So don't look too hard on my dad's lesson. Just understand the essence of what my dad was trying to say, which was to think like an entrepreneur. That means to create opportunities that people, your customers, are happy and willing to handsomely pay you for. Now, ever since I was 4 years old, I've been an entrepreneur, and as I got older, you know, my businesses matured from selling artwork to the neighbors or having a toll booth in my bathroom at my house. You know, people would come to my house, and I would charge them a toll just to use the bathroom. But, you know, eventually those businesses went down the road, and I started a business that was nominated as being one of the nation's best seed stage companies by Ernst & Young. And then I built my first multi-million-dollar business by 24. Look, I tell you, I've ran the gamut between being broke, being millions of dollars in debt, to making millions a few years later. And I've made mistakes, but the key is that I only made the mistakes once. I never made them again, and I learned from them. I mean, I can remember when I was millions of dollars in debt and being in so much stress that I literally admitted myself in the emergency room because I didn't know what was happening to me. I mean, for almost a year, I couldn't fall asleep in my bed because my mind was racing so fast I couldn't relax, so I'd have to fall asleep in front of the television, and only after I fell asleep, my wife will come, wake me up, and take me to bed. And, I mean, honestly, on a daily basis, I had such intense chest pain, just not knowing how I was going to pay my bills, take care of my family, or let alone feed myself. There was actually one day there was one day where I looked at my checkbook and I had $28.15 left on my balance. And I had over $1,000 in bills that I had to pay by the end of the week. You want to talk about scary? You know, for years, my wife and I would work nearly every waking hour of every day, 7 days a week. I began to realize that I couldn't work any harder, and I wasn't going to make any changes in my life unless I began to work smarter. So I sat down and I obsessed over the strategies and ideas that help make other businesses successful and widely profitable. And eventually, things just started to work for me, and I was starting to get it. Instead of working for a living, I started to think strategically. And once I made this shift, it wasn't long before we got our first big week, and it was enough to pay our bills and still have a little left over. And then the checks got bigger and bigger, and they were coming in from people who weren't even our customers. And I'll explain how I did that a little bit later, but we were able to pay off our million-dollar-plus debt a year and a half before Guido came knocking at our doors, you know? So, eventually we got to a point where checks were coming in the mail at a pretty regular and steady basis. And then I start to realize that reaching that million-dollar mark, that was only the beginning. But you see, I thought it was all about the money at first, and I thought all I needed to do was work harder to make more money. But that's because it was out of desperation. You see, when I changed my focus to strategic thinking, everything else began to change. And by thinking strategically, I realized that the growth and profits of my business were a byproduct of the quality of my marketing. Marketing was everything. Sure, operationally I could find ways to increase profits, but the biggest, most consistent paydays came from leveraging my marketing. Look, you can have the best widget in the world, but if nobody knows about it, or worse, if nobody knows why they should be buying it right now, it doesn't matter how good it is. Marketing is all about educating your prospects why they should be doing business with you and why they should continue doing business with you instead of doing anything else. And that's the premise behind the Predictable Profits methodology, to help you all become a lot more strategic in your approach to marketing, in your approach to growing your business, and in developing a system for predictable profits, which, you know, really is the ultimate goal for any entrepreneur, having a continual, growing, ongoing, predictable stream of business and money month after month. So let's just take a moment to talk about predictable profits and what it means for your business and why I believe that achieving predictable profits really should be the ultimate goal of every business, big or small. Now, as we go over this, I'm hoping you'll begin to see how all of this fits together and why this philosophy is really quick, intuitive, and as you put it into action, how powerful this material really is for positioning you as the go-to company in your market. The other thing to realize is that you don't have to be a NASA rocket scientist to figure this stuff out either. It's It's just simple to understand, and it applies to every single business out there. But you know, you might not like to hear this. It's going to take some work. Not as much as you think, but you just can't sit there and expect it all to be dumped out on your lap. I mean, come on, did I say it takes work to make a lot of money? I did, and honestly, if you don't like it, get over it. You know, I could teach you how to quickly, easily, and with very little effort, almost double your profits, but the key to maintaining your competitive stance and being able to grow your business year after year is just rolling up your sleeves and keeping on top of it. The key to growing your business is to create systems, automatic marketing systems for generating leads, converting those leads into buyers, turning your buyers into repetitive buyers, earning referrals, and finding ways to leverage your assets and, believe it or not, even leveraging your competitors' assets. Yeah, you know what? It takes work, but remember, it's not about working harder. It's about working smarter. So let's get into what it means to work smarter with predictable profits. Now, I call this my predictable profits triad, which is broken down into three parts. The first is positioning, the second is product, and the third is promotion. Altogether, this equals predictable profits, a system for consistent, predictable, ongoing revenue that grows year after year so that your competition, they just can't touch you. So let's start off with positioning for a moment. Positioning is another word for establishing authority or celebrity status in your market. And this is one of those places that most entrepreneurs and small business owners completely ignore. But why is this important? Simply put, money flows where attention goes. And attention goes to celebrities and authorities, and just about anybody, regardless of what business you're in, you can become the recognized authority in your space. Just hear me out for a second. You can have the best promotion and the best product in the world, but if your competitor gets an edge in their positioning, this could completely derail your growth track, and in some cases, could completely destroy your business. Just think about it. Think about it for a minute. Just take a look at the business you're in right now. What do you think would happen if one of my Insiders Club members came into your town, mastered the predictable profits methodology, and rocked out the positioning strategy? He sends out press releases, gets himself on the front page of the local newspaper. He's on the local radio as an expert. He's being interviewed on local TV for his ability to quickly transform someone with his product or service. When people think of the same industry you're in, his name is the first name that comes to mind. First of all, if you were him, do you know how much you'd have to pay for this much publicity? For him, it's free. But if you were paying for advertising, it would cost you thousands. And depending on the degree of your positioning, especially if this turned out to be national, it costs you millions. Well, what do you think the impact would be on your business? Take Dr. Phil. Do you think he's the best psychologist in the world? No way. But why do you think he's one of the most highly paid psychologists in the world? Because he's an expert at positioning. You see, you can run the best advertising in the world, but at the end of the day, if it looks like advertising, smells like advertising, then your customers will treat it as such. One of the things that I learned from Seth Godin. Seth Godin is an author, great marketing author. I highly suggest looking into his books. People tend to categorize their beliefs in four main categories. Number one, they don't believe in what you tell them. Number two, they rarely believe in what you show them. Number three, they often believe in what someone else tells them. Number four, they always believe in what they tell themselves. I'll just say that one more time. Number one, they don't believe in what you tell them. Number two, they rarely believe in what you show them. Number three, they often believe in what someone else tells them. And number four, they always believe in what they tell themselves. See, advertising, it's extraordinarily effective, and it's absolutely necessary, but doesn't hold the same strength as having someone else do the selling for you. When someone else tells your prospects about you, your prospects tend to believe them. Now, hold on one second here. Here's a little secret that most people don't know. Anytime I conduct an interview with the press or an interviewer with another blog author or whoever it might be, the interviewer automatically asks me, what product should we plug? Do you have a website that we can share? You see, it's sort of an unwritten rule that as long as I scratch their back and offer them some really valuable information, they're going to scratch mine too. And they're going to scratch yours. It's positioning that can get you on TV. It's positioning that can get you on the radio. It's positioning that can get you in the New York Times, the Boston Globe, the Wall Street Journal, you name it. And it's positioning that helps justify a higher price and why they should pay attention to the products and the services that you offer. Let me tell you a little story. Occasionally I accept private clients into my pay-for-performance consulting arrangement. Now, before I get emails with people asking if they can learn more about performance and whatnot, I've got to warn you that I don't accept many private clients anymore. I'm done working obscene hours at the expense of my family, and honestly, I've just got a lot of important projects going on at the moment. But I will tell you that I've decided I'll only accept clients that are in good standing with the Insiders Club. So, sure, there might be a couple exceptions along the way, but for the most part, yeah, you know, my insiders, they're just a bunch of cool cats. I love working my insiders. They just understand the way business should be run, and if I'm going to help anybody make money, I'd rather help my insiders. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can always learn more about the Insiders Club on my website, predictableprofits.com, but, you know, besides that, back to my story. So I'm working with one of my private clients, and we've done extraordinarily well for him. He's a small business, and we managed to find, you ready for this? We managed to find over seven figures, over $1 million in new income, and over five figures in ongoing monthly continuity income that he never, ever would have had before applying the predictable profits methodology into his business. Now look, I'll tell you, he's a little stubborn, and he's making changes, but he still has a long way to go before he builds his company to a point where he's the dominating force in the marketplace. And he knows that I think he's stubborn. But in the course of getting to know him, I also happen to know one of his competitors. I'm not working with his competitor privately, but I do know that they're doing very, very, very well. And I'm talking about, they have several thousand people paying over $100 a month, bringing him over $1.5 million in continuity revenue alone. And that doesn't include product sales, seminar revenues, or personal coaching. But the kicker is that this guy's competition, their marketing is average at best. His website's confusing. He doesn't create compelling copy, and he's really not selling you anything. But he's got a lot of followers, and he's got a lot of sales. Why? Because he's a recognizable author. He's frequently in the press. He's highly sought after television expert, and he's quoted all across the internet, all across the media and whatnot, many different articles. He's everywhere his target market is looking for help. And when people see you everywhere, they're looking for help, it's common that they believe you have the solution to their problem. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. Just the other day, I received an email from a guy that said, It said, Charlie, everywhere I look, I happen to come across your name. You've clearly made quite the name for yourself, and I want to learn from you. Now, the funny part of the story is that when he was asking me later on in his email, he's actually asking me for a magic bullet and a strategy to get rich quick. And look, I can tell when people are just looking to make more money and couldn't give a crap about how they do it. So, in not so many words, I'll tell you, I thanked him for his compliment and suggested he better change his approach. Because, I'll tell you, We'll get into this a little bit later, but it's a lot more than just about the money. It has more to do with your approach and your mindset on delivering your customers a greater advantage, a greater value, a greater profit, a greater benefit. That's how to make a long-running, ongoing, growing business. But back to this guy here. He's not the only one that reached out to me because of my positioning. I've got people that have become introduced to my work because they were looking to a solution to their problem, and I was there offering expert advice. Even reporters have contacted me because I just so happened to create the research that they were using for their article. And this was good, actually. I had a press release of mine that was apparently, let's just say it was a little bit controversial. And so this reporter took my press release and distributed it to an entire national network of reporters who asked other reporters to comment on my release. You want to talk about traffic? That brought tons of visitors to my website. Now, I tell you, if I was smart and I really wanted to make this business huge, I'd focus a lot more on positioning. It's the fastest, cheapest, and easiest way to launch any business. Did you hear what I just said? Positioning is the fastest, cheapest, and easiest way to launch any business. And even though I talked a lot about press releases, and I did that because I find them to be extremely effective, and press releases are one of my favorite ways to launch your positioning. There's also a number of ways in which you can get your name mentioned in the press without sending even a single press release. And you can establish yourself as a trusted authority by aligning yourself with a celebrity or someone that's looked at as being a celebrity in your field. Positioning also includes the way you uniquely name a product. Positioning includes how you define your USP, or known as your unique selling proposition. There's about a handful more ways, and more ways that I'm continuing to develop, continuing to learn and teach every day. Does that mean you have to deploy all of them? Heck no! But I'm giving you options. See, positioning is critical anytime you need to be viewed as an expert, such as anyone marketing information, financial planners, attorneys, accountants, and anyone offering any type of service. But I know some of you might be thinking, well, what if I own a dry cleaning company, or what if I own a pizza shop, or what if I have a retail store? See, it applies. And the best thing about it is that your competition wouldn't even think about spending any time on working on their positioning. What if they've got a dry cleaning store or a retail store or whatnot? But that gives you an immediate edge, an immediate advantage over your competition. Can you see how exciting this is? See, establishing authority is one of the largest parts of the positioning platform, and it's not the only one. No. Positioning includes your niche, you know, or niche, however you pronounce it. You know, who's your product for? And I'm not talking about in general, you know, who specifically, you know, I'm not talking about who is your product for as in generally speaking. I want specifics. Look, if you want to become an expert, you can't be that one-all, be-all type of person. It's the fastest way to lose business to your competitors. Years, I can't even believe I'm telling this story, but years back, I actually knew a guy who owned a video rental store up in the Lakes region of New Hampshire, up by Winnipesaukee. And as a video rental store, he did well. But then he decided that he'd start selling ice cream, then pizza, then Beanie Babies. He eventually installed a few video games, had a pool table, offered DJ services, sold audio equipment, all this going on in his one little store. I'm telling you, this guy was trying to do everything. In fact, you can't even make this stuff up. He even farmed his wife out as a baby-making machine, and she was a surrogate mother for some other dude's baby. I mean, people didn't know what this guy was doing anymore, and they assumed that because he said he did everything, that he could only be, well, average at best. At any one of his businesses, you know, people just didn't have that faith in him. They didn't know what he was doing. So what do you think would happen? Yeah, you got it. Everybody stopped doing business with him. Now, I know that's an extreme case, so some of you got... What? I'm not going to tell you more about how to farm your wife out as a baby-making machine. You guys are sick. You better hope your wives aren't looking over your shoulders right now. God. Yeah. All right. All right. Moving on. Oh, gosh. What did I get myself into? Moving on. Let me ask you something here. All right, I got to stop reading. If you needed a patent done, and it was very important to you that your patent was done correctly, would you go to your neighborhood attorney who does real estate closings, bankruptcy, corporate work, criminal law, asset protection, and just so happens to also do patents? Would you feel more comfortable with a patent attorney who exclusively narrows in his expertise on only patents? Who do you think gets paid more? When I had my real estate development company, I started off using a local accountant. He charged me a few $100 to do my tax returns, but eventually I decided it made make more sense to hire an accountant that was specific to the construction industry. And I paid this guy thousands of dollars more every year to do my taxes. And I paid this guy more because, you know, I believed he saved me more because he was specialized. Who do you think makes more money, the general practitioner or the heart doctor? Sure, the heart doctor, because he specializes. When I was a trader, people knew me as a short-term algorithmic trader of equities, and as a result, I was able to command high prices for coaching both individuals and companies that wanted me to come in and talk about what I do. In fact, just the other day, I got a message from a pro athlete asking me if I'd be interested in coaching him trading. Now, it's not my business anymore, but regardless, you get my point. You know, just go to the pain aisle at the pharmacy. You'll see regular strength Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol, Tylenol for muscle aches and pain, Tylenol for arthritis, Tylenol for sinus pain, Tylenol for nighttime, Tylenol for daytime. You'll see Tylenol in pill form, you'll see Tylenol in capsule form, you name it. There's a Tylenol brand for each one of their niches. Go over to Home Depot. You see crabgrass killer, dandelion killer, clover killer, and the list goes on. Do you think that each one of these weed killers are any different from one another? No. For the most part, they're the same damn thing, just with a different label, but people will pay more for specialty items because they believe that they're the most likely to solve their problems. In fact, a couple years ago, I heard of a guy who was, he had a product selling, it was a bug-killing product. And bug-killing products killed all sorts of bugs. And he was just doing okay, wasn't really making a ton of money. And so he decided what he needed to do was specialize a little bit. So he took the exact same bottle and slapped different labels on it. One for killing ants, one for killing silverfish, one for killing whatever other bug, spiders. And he increased his prices and started selling a heck of a lot more. I tell you, when you speak specifically to someone and you specialize in a certain topic, it's not only easier and cheaper to reach the people that you need to reach the most, you're also able to command a higher price, get higher quality clients, and take command of a market. The telltale sign of an entrepreneur is someone that doesn't really know what they're doing. It's when they're trying to sell or trying to be something to everyone, trying to be someone to everyone. I know an electrician, and look, if you're an electrician, you know how to wire a house, you know how to wire a commercial property, an industrial building, and so forth. But when you come to me and you tell me that you specialize in old homes, then I know you're serious. And by the way, my buddy Nate credits his huge success in his electrical business due to his ability to niche. Now, anybody that owns an old home in my town, and trust me, I live in an old Seacoast community, and there's a lot of old homes, they go directly to Nate. He's the guy who's the expert at wiring old homes in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He's the number one guy. He has more business than he can possibly handle, and nobody can touch him. Because rather than saying, like everybody else, I'm an electrician, I can do it all, Nate just said, you know what? I specialize in old homes. So he's the number one. Now, there's more to positioning, but I think you're starting to get the gist of it. And I'm sure it seems like a lot, but realize, I'm giving you options. And once you understand what I'm talking about, you see it's actually really, really, really easy to implement. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time. It's just about being smart. And don't worry, by the end of the call, if you want to learn more, I'll tell you where you can get it. Next up is the product part of the Predictable Profits Triad. Now, keep in mind, there's definitely a lot of overlap in each one of these categories, and there should be, but each one of them is essential to creating predictable profits. Again, you can position yourself well and have great promotion, but if your product sucks, you're not going to have repeat business. You're going to get a lot of negative reviews, and you'll have a headache dealing with angry, unhappy customers. And let me tell you something. In this day of social media and product review sites, the last thing you want to do is put out a product that sucks, or you can kiss your business goodbye. Just remember, your product must solve a particular problem or offer a solution to people that are currently wanting one. I'll tell you another quick story. A few years ago, I decided that I need to learn about the whole internet marketing thing. So in typical Charlie fashion, I determined who some of the smartest people were in that arena. I packed up the wife and kids, and we headed to London for a week to learn from this group of people. Let me tell you, if you haven't been to London, put it on your bucket list because it's amazingly, amazingly beautiful, extraordinary place to visit. So, as I head into this meeting, I'm all excited to get down to business, launch my website, bring in the sales, you know? So I walked in, I introduced myself and told them, okay, guys, here's the deal. I got this great idea. I've already purchased the domain name. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get to work. Suddenly, crickets. They stopped what they were doing. They gave each other a look like, uh-oh, fellas, we are in for a long road here. And then they said something to me that I'll never forget. They said, Charlie, good ideas are a dime a dozen. Everybody has them. But unless your target customers are actually looking for what you have to offer, your ideas are completely worthless. Dan Kennedy. I mentioned his name earlier. Really, really smart marketing guy. He likes to tell a story about the late Gary Helbert, who asked an audience to imagine that they were starting a fast food restaurant and they could have any advantage they wanted, any advantage whatsoever. And in fact, let's do this. Let's say we're going to have, you're going to start this fast food restaurant, and I could give you any advantage you want. Pick one. Go ahead, pick one and let me know what you would pick. What advantage would you want if you were to start a fast food restaurant? What do you think is the one thing that would almost guarantee you success? Think you know the answer? Here we go. Gary said the one advantage he'd want. Now remember, I gave you any advantage you could choose. The one advantage he'd want is a starving crowd. Remember that. The biggest advantage you can have is a market that already wants, needs, or desires a solution to what you're offering. Does that make sense? I know many of you already have products or services, and that's just brilliant. Actually, that's perfect. But I'd like you to just keep an open mind that there might be additional pent-up demand somewhere that you least expected. And maybe that just means changing up the media you're using to contact your prospects. We just ran a campaign a couple weeks ago, and we have been running this campaign leveraging the internet and email and whatnot for quite some time. And the sales were going great. We did fantastic. Then we decided we are going to turn around and take the same list and now use direct mail, hit them with a different media. You know what the return was? Just on the first piece we put out, over 100%. Over 100%. So changing your media could be another way to reach your target market. Let's say you're marketing a product to help people improve their golf swing. Now, it's important to realize that you've got those young bucks that they grab that golf club and they just want to slam that sucker right out of the park, and they want to hit the ball so far it would make Tiger Woods' head spin. Then there's that older crowd that's just looking for more consistency. Maybe it's to eliminate a hook or a slice so they don't look like, well, so they don't look like me on the golf course in front of their buddies. And then there's a segment of the market that just wants to know how they can improve their golf swing so that they can stay in the game longer. They're getting older, they have a few more pains to contend with, and sometimes, you know, all you got to do is you just take the same product and make a couple little tweaks, slap on three different labels. That's all you need to do. Now, you'd be surprised at the difference that that makes and the difference it makes in price. So price is the other element of product. And I'll tell you, one of my pet peeves, if I hear one more person tell me that they need to cut their prices in order to compete in this economy, I'm going to go nuts. Look, if that was the case, in this economy right now, Walmart would be doing awesome, and stores like Nordstrom and Saks Fifth would be hurting. But at the time of this call right now, Nordstrom and Saks are posting banner years, while Walmart just saw its first increase in sales after nine straight disappointing quarters. And on the research that I found, they're focusing less on price now. They have to. Folks, there's never, ever, 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 ever been a company that could last over the long term using price as its sole competitive strategy. They just need to branch out and extend additional services and offerings and benefits to keep customer loyalty. In fact, I would encourage all of you to strive to be not the cheapest, but the most expensive competitor in your business. And we'll cover a lot of that in the Insiders Club. But look, when you make the decision that you don't want to deal with price-sensitive customers and that you structure your product to only deliver the greatest advantage, benefit, value, and profit that's possible, your profits will increase, the quality of your customer will go up, and you'll enjoy your business a whole lot more. Do you think Walmart's customers are loyal to the brand? What do you think happens when they see, I don't know, pantyhose 50 cents cheaper at Target? Do you think they're going to stick around or go to Target? Now, what about Nordstrom's? People know that they're not buying the cheapest product, but they do know that when they buy the product, Nordstrom will stand behind the product and give them the best customer experience. Just like Zappos. And I know Zappos isn't the cheapest, and so does my wife, but that doesn't stop the UPS guy from coming to my house every couple weeks with a new pair of shoes, right? Experience, service, guarantee, it's all part of the equation and more. In fact, I'll tell you, we took a client that offered a monthly service that he was selling, and I can't remember. I think he was actually selling it at either $97 or $47 a month, somewhere around there, and we instantly doubled the price to almost $200 a month. What do you think would happen if I took your product and I doubled its price? Well, he increased his revenue over $175,000 a year just by increasing the price. How'd that happen? Well, I mean, first, it was just as easy as increasing the price. And in fact, I think he should go higher because he's offering a service that's clearly worth multiples of $200. He could probably get $297, $397, whatever it might be, and people shouldn't complain because they're getting far more than that value. And actually, $397 isn't a good price point. There's we'll talk about that later, sometime down the road. Anyway, there's a all right. Threes, there's in pricing, threes are generally known as a poison number. Anytime there's a three in the number, particularly starting with three, they tend research-wise not to do that well. Sevens are more of a magic number. Anytime there's a seven in the number, and it doesn't matter where it is, if the seven is in the beginning, in the middle, or the end, they tend to do significantly better. 397, you know, we'd have to test it to see how it does. You've got the 3, which is a poison number. You've got the 7, which is the better number. So they might tend to balance it off. We'll talk about that down the road. But I brought it up, so I figured I'd answer that for you. Now, back to my client. So now that he's charging more, he started offering more. And because he started offering more and giving more value as part of his monthly continuity, people loved him. And people loved it because now he could afford to do a heck of a lot more. Make sense? Folks, we're only scratching the surface here, but I want to show you what's possible. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether the economy is booming like it was in the 90s or, well, if the politicians are claiming the sky is falling like it is now. You know, money just doesn't get sucked into a giant vortex and disappear forever. People have it, and yes, people are still spending money. It just takes a little more creativity, a little more persistence, and a lot more strategic thinking. But I'll tell you one thing, your competition isn't doing any of this stuff. So you know what? Even if your market isn't spending as much money as they used to, your market can still grow because your competition is shrinking. And they're not doing a good job at marketing either. Get a load of this. A couple weeks ago, I met a couple guys who started a mattress company. Two salesmen from another mattress company decided they were going to buy out their boss. Their boss was selling regular mattresses. And they decided they were going to buy out the company, but that they were going to do something different, something that nobody else in the industry was doing. You know what they did? They started selling mattresses in this economy at $30,000 a piece. And they're doing this during a time where many other furniture stores are struggling. And I guarantee their friends told them they were insane, and I'm sure that it was a matter of time before their wives put them in the back of the van and shipped them off to the funny farm. But you know what? They haven't even been in business for a year now, and they're doing over $1.5 million in sales. Folks, it's because they're doing a damn good job in their marketing. They've positioned themselves well in their marketing to affluent customers that would pay almost anything to get a good night's sleep. You following me here? Yeah? Good, good. I love this stuff. I love it. Now, the last part of the predictable profits triad is promotion. And while I love all parts of the triad, I'll say that I get most excited talking about the promotion because people tend to get the biggest breakthroughs in this phase. And there's many parts of the strategy that, I mean, there's just so many parts that take me weeks to cover, but I'll give you a taste of it now. In marketing, there are three phases. And I like to look at this similar to that of a relationship because, well, let's just be honest here. Your customers are looking for someone to do business with that they know, like, and trust. Now, you've heard that before, right? Your customers want to know you. They want to like you. They want to trust you. And all that boils down to the relationship you have with your customer. You don't have to know them all personally to have a relationship with your customer, but they must feel like they're personally important to you and your company. They need to know that they matter, that their business with you matters, and that you really care about making a difference in their lives. So here are the three phases. Number one, the dating phase. The dating phase, this is the lead generation phase and when the customer relationship really begins. The number two, you have your engagement phase, and this is when the customer makes their first purchase with you, and oftentimes this is a smaller purchase where they're willing to take a chance on you, but they haven't quite become a raving fan. And then lastly, we've got the marriage phase, and this is where they become a customer for life. So we've got the dating phase, the engagement phase, and the marriage phase. And the dating phase begins with someone looking for a solution to their problem. They're looking for a company to meet their needs. And as the company, you're also looking to establish a relationship with somebody as well. Perhaps you want a customer that, that's not a pain in the ass. And, I mean, seriously, most of your pain in the ass customers are price sensitive. So maybe you want somebody that's more affluent, where price doesn't matter as much as the service, as much as the quality and the security of knowing that they're getting an advantage just by working with your company. Maybe you want a customer who's a particular demographic. Say if you're a doctor focusing in on liposuction, maybe you want that 45 to 65-year-old woman who's overweight, recently been divorced, has a net worth between $1 and $10 million, and has either already gone through some type of plastic surgery or is inquiring about it. Does it make sense? See, you're both looking for someone. And by the way, if you haven't taken the time to outline in detail who your ideal client is, it's an exercise worth doing. Look, one of my friends, who just also happens to be one of the rich dads in the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, says all the time, clarity is power. If you don't know what you want, it's really hard to get. In fact, finding your ideal customer is so important, just this one component alone made one of my private clients well over $1 million. How? Because all of our marketing material spoke directly to a subset of people that wanted his information. But his competitors, they were just too broadly marketing this information. And once we created this subset, we spoke right to them, and the customers were happy to open their wallets and invest in us. See, in other words, everybody likes to think, my product is so good, it's for everybody. But I believe it was Claude Hopkins that said, if you try to sell it to everyone, you end up selling to no one. It's so true. Gosh, that's so true, and I can't emphasize it enough. It's part of the positioning part of the predictable profits triad we talked about earlier. And as you become more familiar with the predictable profits methodology, you'll start to see how all these pieces come together and how you also begin to see that when you correctly apply this methodology, not only will you enjoy more predictable, more dependable, more reliable profits, your company will grow. You'll begin to totally dominate your marketplace, and I mean you'll have your competitors wondering how the heck you're doing so well. You'll have a better relationship with your customers, and your business will become more exciting to you, and we're only just getting started here. That's why the predictable profits methodology is the ultimate goal for a strategic entrepreneur, or rather, predictable profits is the ultimate goal. You know, dating is the hardest part of marketing. Once you're engaged and heading into the marriage part of life, it's the most rewarding, profitable, and the easiest relationship to maintain. But as an entrepreneur, when you're dating, you have to sort through all the fish in the sea just to find your target customers. And more so, just because you've identified your target customer, you also have to spend money, time, and effort trying to get them to take a chance on you. Dating includes everything that you're going to do to generate leads. Maybe it's your website. Perhaps it's word of mouth, strategic alliances, advertising, utilizing salespeople, public relations. You get the drift. And what you do with those leads, how you convert them into paying customers, once they're a paying customer, and once they're a paying customer, now they're engaged to you, you know, that's part of what we're getting at here. Now, I got to get a drink of water 1 second here. Now, look, if you think that you can take people off the street who have no idea who you are and approach them by saying, hey, buy my $2,000 product, and expect them to say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Here's my credit card. You're going to be sadly mistaken. But that's the way most people do it. In fact, one of the most common mistakes I see in businesses today is that they don't take any time to date their prospect, and they move right into the engagement phase. You'd be wasting thousands of dollars and countless hours trying to get someone to engage with you when, in fact, you'd have a much better return if you started in the dating phase. Now, does that mean you can't go right for the $2,000 purchase and no one is going to buy? Absolutely not. There are people that are desperate enough, in pain enough, want a solution bad enough, they will buy from you right away. That doesn't mean that you should change your marketing strategy and go straight to the engagement. Heck no. If someone wants you bad enough, they'll ask for the product long before you engage them. And yes, there are strategies for how to handle that. Dating means you're starting the relationship. Oftentimes, it's giving away a free sample, a free special report, performing a free service like a free inspection, a free audit, or a free evaluation. A free trial is another example. You know, Joe Polish, really brilliant guy, smart marketer. He created what he calls his free carpet audit. And this is a free service to evaluate the condition of someone's carpet and offer recommendations. At times, I believe he even offers to clean a free room. And this offers such tremendous value to his clients, and it builds that relationship, and it gives Joe and the clients that he coaches the opportunity to ask for a sale in a very cool, low-pressure way. You could also offer to let people try you out for a low cost. If you're in the business to consumer market, your customers are used to paying, say, $100 for a product, you could get them into an introductory sample for a small fraction of the price. Yeah, maybe it's $10, $20, $50, who knows? I don't know the answer. You'll have to test to see what variations work for you. If you're in the B2B space and your customers are used to spending $100,000 on an order, you could do an introductory run for $10,000, maybe more, maybe less. Test. Every company is different, and the way people react to different products is different, so you just have to test. And I know some of you right now are rolling your eyes and saying, yeah, testing, sure. And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 people will not test no matter how much I tell them to test. But I'll tell you another thing. One of these days, we're all going to get together in some form or another, something I've wanted to do sometime when I have time. We'll get a seminar going, and I'll survey the audience to find out how many people test. And you know what I'm going to find? The people that test the most will have the highest income in the group. It's true. I was at a seminar a while back, and the guest speaker, I think it was Yannick Silver. Big, big internet marketing guy. Smart guy, too. He surveyed the audience, and sure enough, the highest earners tested the most. And just because I might do things one way, and it might be working for me, it doesn't mean that it's right for you in the exact same way that I do it. The underlying principles are the same, but the actual specifics might change. That's just the nature of marketing. And if it was all the same, everyone would be doing it, and no one would be having an advantage. So the dating phase, also known as the lead generation phase and the relationship phase, you know, dating phase is all about generating leads and starting that relationship. So it's one of the most exciting, but as we talked about, it's also the most expensive and it takes the most work. And on different months, my Insiders Club members will learn simple, easier, and cost-effective ways to bring a flood of new leads in their business. And personally, I love the dating phase because it poses the biggest challenge. Once you figure out the right formula, it's like striking gold. So next up is the engagement phase of marketing. Now, generally speaking, this is when your prospect finally decides that they like you, they know you, and they trust you, and they're willing to take the next step and commit to you. In other words, they reach in their pocket, pull out their wallet, hand you their credit card, and say, "Give it to me, baby." They become a customer. Now, most small business owners believe that once a prospect becomes a customer, that their job is over. However, strategic entrepreneurs know that when a prospect becomes a customer, their job as a marketer, it only just begins. This is the point where you want to keep their trust, you want to inspire referrals, and not just meet their expectations, you want to absolutely exceed their expectations by doing something that's completely not expected. My wife purchased a fairly expensive watch from Nordstrom's a while back, and as luck would have it, a couple months later, just some fluke thing, but the crystal face on her watch completely shattered. So she took it back to Nordstrom's to get it repaired, and she didn't have the receipt. But the representative saw the watch, looked her up in the computer, and told my wife that she'd give my wife a brand new watch instead of having to wait for a replacement. How cool was that? You see, and then, while my wife was waiting for this new watch, she also happened to notice that her watch came down in price. And in gesture, she told the woman behind the desk, "Yeah, darn, I can't believe my watch dropped in price. Ah, well." And the woman behind the desk said, "Hold on, let me see what I can do for you." And 5 minutes later, the sales clerk issued my wife a refund for the difference. How do you think that made us feel? Of course we're Nordstrom fans for life. Which, by the way, even though they're one of the most expensive retail chains in the country, they're enjoying some of the highest sales numbers during this so-called recession while Walmart is floundering. See, price doesn't mean everything. Zappos is a master of the engagement phase. Can't tell you how many times we purchased a pair of shoes online and they automatically upgraded our shipping at no extra cost, and we received the shoes 2 days before we were expecting them. You know, shocked and amazed. You know, we were shocked. And Zappos has benefited now from thousands of business from us just as a reward. Here's another story. I was in Cayman Islands, and we went out to a nice restaurant right on the water. It's our first time in Caymans, first time at that restaurant. And the owner came out, and they greeted us and made us feel at home and assured us that she would actually call us a car to pick us up and drop us back off at our hotel so we didn't have to worry about coordinating the whole thing ourselves. Now, that was cool, and it was also a benefit that no other restaurant openly offered us, even though they saw us getting dropped off. You would think that it doesn't take much time or effort on their end that they would try to coordinate it and time it and get us a car back. Now, this is the cool thing about what the owner of this restaurant did. When the dessert came around, she took it upon herself to bring out two of her favorite desserts on the house, no charge, just as a thank you to us for coming by. Now, let me ask you, that was just a small gesture, but how many people do you think we've recommended that restaurant to? You know, it was the first thing we did when we got back to the hotel. We told the concierge, the friends we made at the hotel, and as luck would have it, my mother-in-law, who is also with us, is also a travel agent who makes it a point to recommend her clients to try out this restaurant now. Can you see how little unexpected things can make all the difference? You know, Joe Polish, who I mentioned earlier, he started off as a marketing expert to carpet cleaners and then became a marketing guru to all sorts of business owners. He has what he calls the happy experience. You have clients that are unhappy, and that's because they got less than what they expected. Then you have clients that are satisfied, and that's because they got what they expected as a satisfied customer. They got what they expected, you know, but satisfied customers have a tendency to forget about you and they move on. Satisfaction doesn't inspire loyalty, doesn't inspire referrals or repeat business. But when you have happy clients, these are the people that got more than they expected. They're loyal fans. They're happy to continually refer business over to you, and they're happy to make repeat purchases. Happy clients got more than what they expected. That's a goal of every strategic entrepreneur. Should be to have happy clients. And here's a tip. If you want a happy client, do something for them completely unexpected and something that they'd really like after they've already paid you. They'll feel that because they've already paid you to deliver a product or service, and you're doing something extra, that you must really, really care about them. And look, in truth, if you're going to be widely successful in your business, you must really care about your customers. You must really, really care about their well-being. In fact, I encourage every one of you to make it your mission to give your clients the greatest advantage and benefit from working with you and your company. Some of the best and some of the wealthiest entrepreneurs I know don't think about how can I milk my customers for more money. They ask themselves, what else can I do for my clients that will help them get more of what they want? And that's what the engagement phase is all about. I'll say that again. What else can I do for my clients that will help them get more of what they want? Look, if you're a dry cleaner, for example, ask yourself, why are these people coming to you? What do they want to get out of your clothes? What do they want out of their clothes? Perhaps your job is to help them make them look good, feel good, smell good, so they can go on to live richer, happier lives. Maybe you're helping someone look good so they can find love. Maybe you're helping them prepare for a bigger celebration. You have a purpose, and people are coming to you for a reason. They need you. No matter how big or how small or how significant you think your business is, there's a place for you in this world, and we need you. We do. We really, really do. And the key is to realize that it doesn't matter if you have more product or services to sell your customers or not. The asset is in the relationship that you have with your customers. And the key is realizing why they're coming to you and how you can serve them to give them the greatest advantage and the greatest benefit. And if you don't have any, if you don't have any product or services, if you think you only have one product or one service you can offer them, this is where you can leverage the trust and the goodwill that you've established with your customers and create many, many, many profit opportunities for you and your customers through the benefit of joint venturing, host beneficiary relationships, or affiliate marketing strategies that I teach. And the engagement phase, it's all about making happy customers and setting the stage for the last phase, which is the marriage phase. Yeah, I know. Some of you are cringing at the thought of marriage, but think of marriage in terms of the way that it's supposed to be. Think of marriage as the close bond and the commitment. In fact, when you recite your wedding vows, one of the most traditional vows is, I promise to support you in your goals, to honor and respect you, to laugh with you, to cry with you, and to cherish you for as long as we both shall live. In other words, you're becoming your significant other's trusted advisor, someone they can rely on for support, protection, comfort, and trust. Here's what most people don't realize. Your customer wants you to be the only company that they ever have to deal with ever, ever, ever again. They don't want to have to go through the hassle of researching another provider and wondering if that company is going to meet their needs. Once they've started doing business with you, they're secretly hoping that you'll be able to take care of them, that you're always going to have their best interests in mind. And you should. Have any of you seen the Domino's Pizza commercial when the chef was talking about their crust tastes like cardboard? Have any of you seen it? Seriously. All right, a few of you have. Good. Good. Right. For those of you who haven't seen it, basically a lot of people were complaining about the quality of their pizza. They said that their crust tasted like cardboard, their pizza sauce tasted like ketchup, and the cheese was just way too processed. Now, most companies would try to reinvent their pizza and make an announcement saying that their pizza is somehow new and improved, or then they'd spend millions of dollars trying to convince people that their pizza is tastier. But Domino's, they did something different. I love them for that. They told their customers that they matter to them. They said, we care about you. We're listening to you, and because of all that, we're going to do everything we can to make you happy. And in the advertisement, they actually came right out and read the actual complaints about their own company. Look, they're telling their customers that they heard them. So they read the actual complaints in front of everyone. And then their top chefs and executives commented on how it made them feel and what steps they took to make it better. And not just make it better, they made it feel like you were so important to them that they worked tirelessly to make sure that their pizza wasn't just good, that it was just awesome. So what do you think this type of messaging did to their stock price? What do you think it did to their sales? Well, sure enough, it began approaching new highs after previously tanking by having low sales figures. And now they're booming. People were coming back to Domino's in droves. It's a relationship, and that's what the marriage phase is all about. The marriage phase is about recognizing that your customers are special and rewarding them for being such good customers. Perhaps rewarding them with preferred pricing or benefits for buying more. Now, for example, I took my family for a vacation in Florida, and we stopped at this restaurant in Celebration. I can't remember the name of the restaurant, but what stood out was they had plaques on the wall recognizing their preferred customers. And when I spoke with the waitress about it, she said that their best customers get issued this card, which tracks their expenses. And as they spend more money, they get certain benefits. And one of them is being recognized on the plaque, and they get other discounts, and all the way through being, they get, they're able to walk into the restaurant during even the busiest time, and they're guaranteed the next available seat, even if they didn't have a reservation. Now, that's how to treat preferred customers. So inside of the marriage phase, we're always coming up with new ideas to spice up the relationship. New promotions, new products, new events, just to keep things interesting. Do you ever notice Disney has a new theme every year? Let me see if I can remember. There was a year of your wishes, another year of celebrating Walt Disney, maybe another year of magic. I don't remember, but I do know that every year is different and every year is exciting. This is just the kind of stuff that brings clients back. With our insiders and our private clients, we tell people to take out their calendar and create 12 reasons once a month that allows you to reach out and give your customers a reason to come back to you. Sure, there's holidays, and there's at least one every month. There's anniversaries, there's milestones, there's new products, maybe new research you could share, or something that's going on with the economy. Maybe a change of season, you get the idea. The marriage phase is also the most profitable in your business. You have no customer acquisition costs. You don't have to spend the time trying to convince them that you're going to take care of them. You just have to anticipate their needs and offer a solution. And the big tip that you can take out of the marriage phase, and gentlemen, this also applies to your marriage at home, is communication. The more you communicate with your buyers, the more profits you make. Some people do this via email, others via a monthly paper and ink newsletter. Sometimes entrepreneurs send postcards, letters, and somebody wants to know, how often should you do that? Well, that depends on how often your customers want to hear from you. I know a guy that emails his list every single day, and he reportedly swears by that strategy because his list loves it, and they respond by buying from him. Other folks, they simply reach out once per month or at a bare minimum once a quarter. You know, as a general rule of thumb, I'd say once a month is pretty good. It all depends on your business, though. Personally, I like to reach out to my clients and my prospects. My clients, I like to reach out a minimum of once per month. Ideally, though, I like to look at somewhere around once a week. Have any of you ever purchased anything from Victoria's Secret? I know. I know many of the women have made a purchase, but guys, you know, maybe you made a purchase for your girlfriend or your wife. But I'll tell you, once you make a purchase, holy cow. I mean, they must send something in the mail once a week, at least once a week, 2 to 3 times sometimes. Granted, I'm not disappointed to receive the catalogs, but, you know, they definitely make a point to stay in front of you all the time. Those catalogs, they're not cheap to produce. But clearly, if they're mailing you that often, it must be profitable. So that's the skinny on the marriage phase there. Again, the three phases of marketing promotion is the dating phase, the engagement phase, the marketing, and the dating phase, the engagement phase, and the marriage phase. All of this we cover in a lot more detail in the Insiders Club. We're always coming up with new and exciting strategies, some of which might only make us a few $1,000, others that have earned our clients millions. But you know, we're always coming up and testing something new. Now, let me just see here. Ooh, okay, we're running out of time, so we won't be able to cover everything in detail, but there's even more to the promotion part of the triad, and I'm going to try to hurry this up here so that I can give you as much as I can give you here. You know, there's the frequency part of the triad. In other words, how frequently are you promoting? And that's sort of what we covered in the marriage section. There's the customer re-engagement strategy that I teach, and there's various spokes inside of the money wheel. Now, let's talk about the money wheel for a second. You see, most businesses run their entire operation with just one spoke inside of their money wheel, one way of generating money. In fact, I rarely come across anyone that tells me they spend a lot of money in the yellow pages anymore, but I had this one guy Well, he applied to become a private client anyway, and he did almost $6 million a year with the Yellow Pages, nothing else. You want to talk about putting all your eggs in one basket? And one spoke in the money wheel, well, it can result in a pretty bumpy ride. Do you know how many millions of Internet entrepreneurs lost everything when Google changed their algorithm? And their business completely disappeared overnight. Yeah, I used to do a lot of pay-per-click advertising when I was doing CPA marketing a few years ago. I was making over six figures a year, and then all of a sudden Google, they just didn't like the ads I was running, and they shut off the advertisement, and I went from grossing over $250,000 to a mere $24,000 a year with that business. I'm telling you, craziness. There's another, a well-known marketer who shared a story with me that he was making over $10 million a year. And it sounds great until you understand that 90% of it was strictly coming from product launches. So we had to change that model by, well, still by doing product launches, but adding more spokes to his wheel. I'm talking about different ways of advertising. There's joint ventures, there's referral systems, there's direct mail, there's public relations, there's using a sales staff, product launches, upselling, downselling, cross-selling, social media. There are lots of different ways, and I wouldn't dare tell you to tackle all of them right off the bat. In fact, I don't even think you should. But the more spokes you add to your money wheel, the more robust your business becomes and the more predictable your income becomes in any economic environment. See, predictable profits is all about growth. It's about building a solid foundation and then building on top of that. It's about taking steps, and just small steps at first, and taking action and doing them well. It's about being strategic. It's not about rushing. It's about being strategic. And it falls along with that old joke, you know, an old bull and a young bull were standing on a hill looking down on a valley of young, beautiful cows, and the young bull says, hey, let's run down and hook up with one of those fine-looking cows over there. And the old bull says, no, let's walk down and let's enjoy them all. Again, it's about being strategic. And when you look around, that's really the difference between those entrepreneurs that do well in any market condition and those that are what I call yeah-but entrepreneurs. Yeah-but entrepreneurs, those people that always seem to have an excuse for why they're not successful. They blame the economy. They blame their competitors. Heck, they blame the stars. Who knows? They're just looking for a reason to point the finger at anyone but themselves. They're living in the past, and they're focusing on what they thought worked. But as my good friend Marshall Thurber says, there are reasons and then there are results. And the only thing that matters is the results. Folks, if it's not working today, it doesn't work. Just deal with it and move on. Strategic entrepreneurs, on the other hand, look at everything as an opportunity. The market changes, good, they react quickly and they adapt. They take advantage of every hand that's dealt to them, and as a result, they become a magnet for customers and money. Here we are in the midst of an unbelievable economic uncertainty type of environment. There's bankruptcies, there's debt, you name it. But there are people all around the world in every industry making more money than they have ever made before. Those are people we want to learn from. Those are the people to pay attention to. And that's what we focus on inside the Insiders Club. So we covered the predictable profits triad. We talked about the importance of positioning, and getting an edge with your positioning can almost instantly launch your business into a whole new realm of success. We talked about product and the importance of not competing on price and how to present your offer in a way that stresses the biggest benefit, the biggest advantage, the biggest value or profit that you bring into your customer as a result of your product or service. And finally, we talked about promotion, where you build the relationship that you have with your customers through the dating phase, the engagement phase, and then finally conclude with the marriage phase. We also talked about the money wheel and how the majority of businesses are focusing in on one, maybe two ways to grow their business, which, as we've seen in recent years, causes a pretty bumpy ride moving forward. Now, I know we've been on the phone for a while now, in fact, a long while now, so we did dig deeper into the predictable profits triad, but as you can imagine, we're only scratching the surface here. Now, just with this call alone, just with this alone, you should be starting to see what's possible for you and your business. I'm hoping you had a few aha moments that you'd be able to start putting into action right away. What you have is the core underlying principles that when when you apply them correctly, could really produce a substantial impact in your business. You know, maybe that means an extra 30% to your bottom line this year. Maybe it means doubling your business. Heck, maybe tripling your business. It all depends how strategic you're thinking and how well you apply the materials and how persistent you are in incorporating these strategies. Now, I'm getting a couple questions of people asking me, does this take a lot of time? Remember, it's about building marketing systems. And once you find the systems that work, you set them on autopilot. That means you have a system for generating leads. And once a system comes in the door, you have a system for how to respond to those leads. And then once they become a customer, another system. With the technology available today, many of these things could be done automatically, be put into action so that your focus is actually on working on your company rather than in your company. And this way you can stay in the position of innovating new systems, of new promotions and new ideas. Keep in mind, every second of every day, somebody is trying to take your customers away from you. I don't know who said, set it and forget it, but if you forget about your customers, they're going to forget about you. But if you put these systems in place and focus on building and adding to these systems, you'll be building and posturing yourself to dominate your market and achieve achieve more predictable results. It's not the time that you put into your business. It's about thinking strategically. Remember, it's about working smarter, not harder. Somebody else is asking, I've helped a lot of people, but I don't know a lot about marketing or a lot about building systems. How can I make this work for me? Honestly, I love this question, and I find that the people who think that they're the worst in marketing, they actually tend to be my best clients. See, marketing is a learned skill. And the stuff that I teach my private clients and my insiders, that's all a learned skill. And I can teach you this stuff, but what I can't teach you is I can't teach a focus and a willingness and a drive to serve your customers and clients the way that delivers the highest advantage, the highest benefit, the highest value and profit possible. You see, persistence, drive, client focus, all that stuff can't be learned. I can teach you the rest. And I can teach you how to get an edge over 99% of all your competitors, but understanding and living the purpose of a business, living the purpose of business, knowing that it's to create the greatest advantage to your clients, that's all a mindset. And if you've already enriched your clients with a product or service, and you just want to do more of it, that sounds like you've already got the winning mindset. Now, again, time's almost up, so I want to close by telling you the biggest thing that's happened to me, my business, and my success. Years ago, I picked up a book by Richard Branson called Losing My Virginity. It's a book that I highly recommend to everyone that reads it. It was so influential to me, I actually named my son Branson. It's a book about Richard Branson's autobiography, and unlike a book you might pick up on someone like Donald Trump, for example, that points out every reason why he's so smart, Richard Branson took a step back and said, look, you and I are not that much different, but the only reason why I'm a billionaire and most of the people are not is because I'm not afraid to accept risks, think bold, and take action. And I'll tell you something. I realized that I'm not that much different from Richard Branson, and neither are you. You know, Branson worked hard to think strategically, to think differently than what everyone else was doing. When the crowd was all thinking and going in one direction, Branson would separate from the pack and create his own opportunities that were bigger and that were better than everybody else. And soon thereafter, I realized that I could take on the world if I wanted to. So I started to study people that were successful, and I obsessed myself with how they did it. And I found that successful people continuously invest in themselves. And so did I. In addition to written material, I hired mentors, attended seminars, and I got really clear on the direction I was taking. When I found mentors, I would dig deeper and I'd go to the people that they learned from and soak in everything I could about their success. And I'd pick up books and read as many as I could. And being a guy with quote-unquote severe learning disabilities, reading didn't come easy to me. So I picked up a course on speed reading just so I could get an edge and read more and learn how to retain this information faster than almost anybody else could. You see, what I learned from Richard Branson is that the key to success and the key to his billions of dollars is persistence. You got to have that voracious appetite for success, for making money, and for challenging the status quo. And you know, by looking at all the combinations of what the best people in the world were doing, testing it inside of my own businesses, and then summarizing it into an easy-to-understand blueprint, that's when I went from having a negative net worth to making millions in such a short time. And look, I'm the last person in the world to ever claim that I walk on water. I had, and I occasionally still do have, my bumps and bruises along the way, just like Richard Branson did. But over the years, people began to take notice of what I was doing and the success that I was having. And before I knew it, not only was I being asked to speak, I was actually helping other people make money. And I'm not just talking about helping other people make a few thousand bucks. I was helping small business owners just like you make hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars. So let me leave you with this. If you've come this far and you believe that your business could and should be doing a lot better than it's doing right now, if you're tired of entering into price wars with your competitors, if you're done spending money on advertising that isn't producing the results you want, if you don't want to feel like you're always looking for new leads instead of the leads coming to you, let this be the time to stand out and separate yourself from all those "yeah, but" entrepreneurs and learn the same success principles proven to work even in this economy. And if this sounds interesting to you, then I just encourage you to check out the Predictable Profits Insiders Club. And you can check that out at predictableprofitsinsidersclub.com. It's for strategic thinkers, entrepreneurs, and small business owners. And if you're expecting me to give you a hard sell, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because I'm not going to sit here, blow hot wind up your butts, and trying to convince you that this club is for everyone. And truthfully, I don't expect everybody to sign up. It's called the Predictable Profits Insiders Club, and it's only for entrepreneurs and business owners who take their marketing and their businesses seriously. It's not for people who are afraid of doing any work. It's not for people that expect everything to be handed to them on a silver platter. It's not for people who are still convinced that their business is different. You know, it's not for people who just like to follow the crowd just because it's the way that it's always been done. This is for people who are determined, who are persistent, who are downright serious about their success. It's for people that want to achieve everything they know is possible for them and more. It's for entrepreneurs who see a good challenge and say, bring it on, because that's what it takes to be a leader and a dominant player in your market. And if this sounds like you, I want you to have every possible advantage to help you achieve your goal as quickly as possible. Every month, I spend hours of my time poring over research, writing, and creating a monthly paper and ink newsletter featuring only the most advanced ideas, the best tips, and strategies for creating predictable profits in your business right now. And every month, there's going to be brand new content, and there's going to be great action items based on what's working in the economy right now. We talk about strategies and philosophies for building wealth. We talk about material that, if applied correctly, could translate into thousands, possibly millions, to your bottom line. Again, we're putting out new content every month, and quite honestly, each month that you miss, you just could be missing out on another opportunity to completely transform the way you look at opportunity. And you could be missing out on another opportunity to take advantage of the profit centers available to you right now. So if this sounds interesting to you, I encourage you to check out predictableprofitsinsidersclub.com just to learn a little bit more about what it's about. And I'll leave you with one more thing. If there's one thing that I absolutely refuse to be, that's to be another expense for your company. I take pride in making money for my clients. When you go to the website, you'll see that if you join my Insiders Club for one full year, you put the strategies that I share with you to practice, and you don't earn at least 100 times your investment, contact me at the end of the year, and I'll either find a way to make it right, or I'll give you all your money back. That's just how confident I am in the methodology that I teach, and that's just how committed I am to helping you grow your business. And when you work with me, you win. End of story. When you work with me, you win. And that brings us to the end of the call. I really want to thank you for listening. And for those of you that decide to take it a step further and you join me in Insiders Club, I look forward to connecting with you there. Folks, it's Charlie Gaudette signing off. Think strategically and go out there, have fun, and enjoy all the profit you deserve. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Predictable Profits Quest. More strategies for growing your business can be found directly at PredictableProfits.com. PredictableProfits.com, where entrepreneurs and business owners discover actionable strategies and information for earning more money, more business, and more often. Visit PredictableProfits.com.